I love doing flowers because it's about composition, color, and scale and proportion, and like evoking elements within a room that you can bring out through floral design. I find that flowers can really accentuate a space, or they can have the opposite effect of adding attention to a room that maybe it needs.
Welcome to Talk Shop. I'm Ariel Oaken, a New York-based interior designer, writer, and editor looking to bring a little bit of magic into our homes every day. After years as a writer and editor in the interiors world, I founded my own editorial site, Fenimore Lane, in 2020, and the Talk Shop interview series was born. Each week, I delve into the personal experiences of the top interior designers and tastemakers around the globe. My guest this week is my friend, the brilliant interiors writer, editor, and stylist, Mika Tenhov. Mika parlayed her editorial eye into creative direction for interior designers, architects, and home brands after years working as a magazine editor. Mika is a frequent contributor to Architectural Digest and House & Garden UK, along with being a contributing writer to several books. Describing her style as granny chic, Mika's design sensibility is all about pieces that are beautiful, strange, and conversation starting. You can spot her floral arrangements a mile away, and her personal style and sense of space and the way it can translate on a page is truly singular in the industry. Please join me as I welcome Mika to the podcast. Mika, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I am so excited to have you on today and to chat with you a little bit about your career and all the amazing things that you do.
Thank you for having me.
Well, to kick off the conversation, describe your style in three words or less.
I think my style is unique, layered, and colorful.
I would say that's entirely accurate for all three.
I'm actually sort of shocked that I was able to come up with those three words so quickly.
Well, you're using your editor skills. For those who may not know, Mika is not only an incredibly talented interior stylist and writer and editor, but she has such a personal approach to design and a really uniquely identifiable eye. And once you start to see her work, you can kind of, you know it's her when you see it. And I have had the pleasure of working with Mika on many photo shoots of my own. And I always love hearing about your career trajectory. So can you sort of walk us through your career so far from working as an editor to now?
Right. Well, my first like design world job was I was a market assistant at Domino Magazine, the original that Deborah Needleman founded. And she really kind of gave me my first job into this world. And I was working under Tori Malott, who was the decoration editor at the time. You know, I from the minute I started working there, I knew that interiors was the world that I wanted to work in, that I wanted to inhabit, that I wanted to build my career around. And when it folded in, I must have been like 2008 or early 2009, you know, I did a few different jobs after that. I was an assistant at Vogue magazine for a little bit, working with Virginia Tupker, who now has her own design practice, and she's incredibly talented. And I worked a little bit for Rita Koenig, again, whom I knew through Domino and, you know, also has a wonderful singular style. And then eventually I got a job at Elle Decor as I was associate style editor. And I was there for several years working under Michael Boudreau, which was wonderful.
Who also has a great podcast.
Yeah, I love his podcast.
So good.
Shout out to Michael Boudreau. I love Michael. And that was really where I think I learned the most in my career, you know, because I had to produce my own shoots for these little columns that I had. And it was really, the shoots were really about taking silhouettes of products and objects. And I like looking back on it, I think it taught me a lot about form and composition. It was just a great learning experience for me. And I also got to go to a lot of the trade shows and learn a lot about the way the industry generally works. I mean, it was just like a great passport to understand all the things that kind of underpin and undergird the industry. And so I was there for several years, and then I was hired by Vogue to be the home editor, which was an interesting experience that I'm totally grateful for. But, you know, Vogue was really a fashion magazine, obviously, and I was covering interiors. So it was, you know, it exposed me to a lot and exposed me so much to, you know, how a larger magazine functions. And then I went back to Elle Decor as design editor at large, which was a great job. I wasn't in the office. It was sort of like a contract I had with them, and I would find, you know, beautiful projects around the world, and I, you know, got to go style them and shoot them and produce the stories. And it was just, it was really, really fun. And I think that, that's kind of what positioned me to going out on my own, you know, which I have been for the past several years now. And it's been a real joy to do this every day. You know, every day is a different day in styling, and every job is a different job, and every project is a different project. And, you know, obviously you take the skill set with you, but I think what makes it interesting is that every day is a new challenge or a new problem to solve. And it's all about creating beautiful images. So what could be more fun than that?
Totally. And you do it so well. And every day, I mean, the florals are different at the market, and there's right. some type of snag on set where the light is not what we had hoped it would be. I mean, there's like all these different things that you navigate, and you're like such a pro at doing that.
Thank you.
And your flowers are so singular. I mean, I feel like whenever I'm scrolling on Instagram and I see something that was an AD or it was an Elle Decor, I know it's you because the flowers are unlike anything I've ever seen. And they're so beautiful. And the way that you do them, I mean, we're always so mesmerized by Mika on set because she just like shows up with like this huge thing of lilacs. And then all of a sudden it's like the most gorgeous arrangement you've ever seen in your life. And she never even uses like anything to do it. She's just putting them in a pot. So how did you learn how to do your florals, and how did you get, I mean, I think you have such an innate sense of intuition with everything you do, but can you talk a little bit about your florals?
Sure. I mean, I love doing flowers. It's something I never like trained, you know, formally trained. I never took classes, but I started doing them basically because I had to do them for shoots. And I found them to be one of the most fun parts of the job. I guess at the end of the day, like I love doing flowers because it's about composition and color and scale and proportion and like evoking elements within a room that you can bring out through floral design, you know, whether it's like adding a contrast of color or adding something wild to a room that's otherwise somewhat restrained or uptight. I find that flowers can really accentuate a space.
Oh yeah.
Or they can have the opposite effect of adding attention to a room that maybe it needs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's like the floral thing was sort of like an accidental side part of what I do.
And you happen to be freakishly good at.
It is all the things that I like. It's composition and it's color. And
yeah,
you put those two things together. And it, honestly, I think like not having ever like studied it is helpful because you're kind of free to doing it a certain way. And that's what's kind of fun about it. It's like, you know, I never feel like stressed out by it. It's truly something that's pleasurable to do.
No, you're like, so Mika's always barefoot on set. She's like a flower child. And I feel like it's like a physical manifestation of the editing that you've done for so many years, right? With composition. And one of the most interesting things that I learned from Mika is that she likes things to be asymmetrical because they're more interesting and it gives the eye room to travel exactly. in a photograph. And you are so kind about teaching how to think about a photograph in an editorial way, which not everybody is. Is there a favorite element about what you do?
I mean, I think the part that keeps me doing it is I love beautiful interiors, images. I just love them. And I think being able to create that is just a gift. And just, I always feel like so lucky that I get to do this for work, that's something that like I'm just personally passionate about is something that I can contribute to and do professionally.
You know, I feel the same way. We're all very lucky in this industry because I think we're all so passionate about it.
Totally.
Like, and the fact that we get to do it every day is a gift for sure.
Exactly.
What design rule, and I put that in quotes because you and I are not big on rules, do you always follow, and which is made to be broken?
Design rule that I follow. I mean, I think like from the point of view of styling, I think it's often like allowing a space to be what it wants to be, what the best version is of itself, and not trying to make it look like something it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
That's broad, but
yeah, but it's applicable to a lot.
Yeah, I do think it's important. I think it's like always allowing the room to be the best version of itself.
Looking back through your career, have you had a mentor? And if so, how have they helped to shape your trajectory?
Gosh, I think everybody I've worked with over the years has been a mentor to me. And I also think like my clients are a mentor too, in a way, because I get to touch and interact with the work that they have so beautifully done. And I learn so much from them. I learn so much from the photographers that I work with. That's been like a huge gift, I think, you know, especially in my early days of shooting. Like I think about some of the photographers I worked with that really did teach me a lot about so many things apropos of like creating beautiful images of interiors. So I would say that I've had many mentors over the years that, you know, have shaped me and taught me so much.
I feel like this industry in particular, in almost the opposite way of fashion, in a sense, it's like so collegial and kind.
Yes,
I agree. Everybody kind of like knows each other, and on sets, you can be a sponge and kind of absorb. I mean, I consider you a mentor in my career because you've just taught me so much about styling and flowers, and I can't remotely replicate the way you do flowers, but I can sense good ones now.
No, it does feel like we operate in largely a very kind industry, where people are very amenable to helping each other out and sharing
yes.
references and contacts and ideas. And like, it's so fun. I mean, like, I love everybody that I work with.
Yeah.
And it's like great that you get to spend a day like creating beautiful images with people that you enjoy spending time with. It's so fun.
Yes. Because everybody's equally enthusiastic and obsessive about interiors. And so we're all just kind of sharing in the joy of being able to do what we do every day. And so...
Right.
And then I also think there's no like scarcity mindset in this industry, because there's enough interiors to go around and everybody does their own thing. And so it's like, it's so nice to not have to feel like I very rarely feel there's any type of like competitive nature in the interiors industry. I think everybody is just so nice.
Same.
What is the best interior advice you've ever received?
But I will tell you something that a designer once said to me that I like still think about and tell people and tell clients. It was Thomas Jane, and I was writing an article for the Wall Street Journal at the time. This was several years ago. And he said something about like having something in the room that's just off. And he called it like having an anchovy in the room.
I love that.
Yeah, adding an anchovy. And I just... feel like it's such a great way of describing this feeling of like staying away from perfection.
Yeah.
And I always think about that, whether it's like through in decorating or styling. It's like, I don't like it when things are like too perfect. It just,
yeah,
there has to be something.
Well, it needs to feel real.
Yeah. But it also just like, you know, you need to have that tension of something being just a bit off
or yeah.
just a bit out of sync to make a room feel compelling, I think.
I feel like that's such a hallmark of the way you start. Like Mika will come and she'll kind of like ransack your attic and she'll find like the weirdest like tapestry throw you have. And then she like throws it down and she's like, oh, this is perfect. And it's like exactly what the room needed. And also translates so perfectly to camera, which I think is what makes you so good at what you do, is like you come at it, your styling is beautiful, but you also come at it from an editor's eye. And so you know what's going to look good on camera and you know the angles and how to shoot. And I think that's not everybody can do that. And that's really important.
Well, I think it, like styling is a different skill set than decorating.
Oh, 100%.
Because styling, you're thinking through only so many captures, right? You're thinking about a house through certain angles and putting together a story in only so many slides. And how you live with something isn't necessarily what looks best for a picture. And, you know, as a designer, you come at it from a different approach. And as a stylist, you come at it from a different approach.
Yes. And it's a symbiotic relationship.
Right.
Okay. Now a little about you. What does your home say about you?
Says I'm a hoarder.
Me too. Aren't we all?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many people out there, I guess, that don't really accumulate stuff, but I love stuff. I mean, I think my home says that I'm a bit of a magpie. There are a lot of different things that I like. And I always feel like things are just talking to me. Like, you know, that's why I have so much stuff. I'll see something.
Yeah.
And it'll be talking to me, whether it's at a flea market or an antique store or an auction house or whatever. I just, there are all these objects around me that are calling my name and I can't help myself.
But that's what makes it so personal. And so you.
Right. Right. And, you know, I am a devotee of color. I love color. And I love like creating a dialogue between different patterns. And that's very interesting to me, especially patterns from different parts of the world or different time periods. I like putting those things in concert with each other because I think it creates an interesting story. But I think that's what my home says about me is that I'm a hoarder and...
with an amazing china collection.
I love china and I'm a hoarder and I like having conversations between places and time periods.
This question isn't on my list, but I just thought of it because you mentioned textiles from different eras. You have such a glossary in your mind about antique history and furniture history, and you know so much about the background of decorative arts and decorative arts history. Did you go to school for that? Or what would you recommend for somebody who's looking to learn more about that, to sort of train their eye and learn more about kind of the backstory of interiors?
I did not go to school for it. And I think all that one really needs is like a good sense of curiosity about a subject. And that could be any subject, but I think, you know, with the decorative arts, it's just, for me, it was just a fundamental curiosity about things and thinking about, well, you know, where did this originally come from and who made it and why was it important at that time? I think what I like so much about the decorative arts is that the object itself is a really interesting reflection of the time in which it was made. So in that sense, like it's a wonderful historical artifact of a time period that maybe we don't know anything about. And that I think is always what interested me is this kind of backstory of the lives of objects and the lives of patterns. And so for me, it was just a question of looking and asking questions and reading and having curiosity.
Yeah.
And letting your eye kind of like be the thing that moves you to learn about something.
People always ask me that question because it's like, if you don't go to school for it, how do you learn? And there's just so many amazing books on this world.
Right. And it's also like, you know, I think at the end of the day, just like anything else, it's you have to have the passion for it.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about something, you're going to naturally learn about it because you want to learn about it.
Yes, 100%.
And there's so many incredible books out there and so many different mediums. And, you know, another thing that I think is always for me, very inspiring and educational are like touring house museums, seeing decorative art collections in various museums. You know, they're never the blockbuster. Like most museums are not touting their decorative arts sections, but a lot of them have incredible collections that
the Met.
I love like that visible storage section in the Met is fabulous.
Yep, and it's amazing.
Anybody who's interested in the decorative arts to go plumbing those. That section, because it'll also walk you through evolution in styles and how periods change from different years. And if you scratch a little further, you realize that there is always some historical or political or social change that kind of hastens the evolution of objects.
And there's a thread between it all, which is fascinating. To that end, what are your favorite places to shop for home? Because you do have an amazing collection of things from all over.
Right. I mean, I think there's no easy answer to that.
No.
I go kind of everywhere. Almost everything I buy, except for textiles, is antique. So I spend a lot of time at auctions. I spend a lot of time antiquing. I spend a lot of time going to flea markets. I like buying things from travel. I just bought a pair of paintings in France in June that I'm obsessed with that just, you know, I just had shipped over. So it's kind of always looking is the answer to that.
Yeah.
And there's no one destination that I'm like, there's no one place.
No. And I think travel is such a big component of it, and always keeping your eyes open when you're traveling, because there's just so much to take in, even if it's not something you're physically coming home with, but like something you saw in a museum or a color palette or...
That's exactly right. And then it informs something else that you do at home, even if it's not, you know, buying that particular piece. It's like thinking of new ways of displaying something or putting things together. I totally agree.
Unrelated, some style questions. What have been the three biggest influences on your aesthetic, both interiors and style, in your life?
I mean, definitely, like, you know, my mother and my grandmother, and specifically my grandmother's house, was something that really captivated me as a child and got me interested in the decorative arts 100%. She had Zubair wallpaper in her dining room, and I just always remember feeling like I was swept away in that room, that I was somewhere else. And I was always thinking about the scenes in that paper and feeling that it had this like magic transportive power. So those are like early memories. And then my mother has great interior style. And, you know, I did do a lot of antiquing with her as a child. And I think it like got my feet wet with this feeling of like looking for things. Like I think there's like a real joy in the hunt. Like, I don't like being served beautiful things. I like hunting for them. It's like a very different feeling. Like I like the search. It really excites me to find something.
It's thrilling. It's
totally thrilling. And I always get a high from it. And this is why I watch Antiques Roadshow like every night before I go to bed.
My mom took me as a kid on South Dixie all the time to all the flea markets and stuff. And then we would go to like random flea markets in like Pennsylvania and New Jersey growing up.
Yeah, fun.
I mean, it becomes part of you through osmosis. Like when you have those formative experiences as a kid. And I think that's often why so many people go into interiors. It's like something locks in your brain as a kid where you really just become emotionally entangled with the spaces around you. And I think
curious. I think like that for me, it was always a curiosity about things.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that sounds cliche, but I mean, I had this when I was a child. My mom had that Minhog book, Interiors. It's still my favorite design book.
I had that.
And, you know, we spent the summers in, I grew up in the city, but I spent summers in Maine, and I was often totally bored. And I would like look at this book, and I would just like, you know, fall in love with the images inside of it and all the histories within it and the colors and the layers. And I just remember like being transfixed by that book. And it somehow has stayed with me as like the ultimate, you know, the ultimate book on interiors. And also because it's got so many different styles, you know, and like this, basically this, I mean, as the title suggests, like the world of interiors and how massive it is and how diverse it is and how exciting that is.
I was actually just paging through that the other day. Anthony was over. We were like rearranging something and he saw it and he was like, oh my God. And we just spent like 10 minutes like looking through the pages of it because it's such a great book.
It is.
And I also think boredom, to your point, is such a gift.
Yeah.
Kids don't get bored in today's time. And I think
constantly overstimulated.
Yes. Like my mom used to take me to Barnes & Noble and I would sit in the art section on the floor and they had a Starbucks in there. And I would get like a muffin and we would sit together and we would just like kill 2 hours and like look at art books on the floor. And like, that is a formative experience of who I became.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of good comes out of being bored.
100%. Okay. I think that's a perfect place to pivot into our rapid fire questions, which are part of Talk Shop's series.
Oh boy.
So there are 10 questions about your favorite things. So what is your favorite food?
Probably caviar and cheeseburgers.
I love that combination. That's like a gastronomical sum up of how you put a room together. Your favorite drink? It doesn't have to be alcoholic. It could be anything.
Okay, well, for alcoholic, I love a really chilled Sancerre. And I love fizzy water. I'm bad about drinking water. So like if I drink fizzy water, I feel like I've at least done part of my job.
It's hydrating, but it kind of gives you Diet Coke vibes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's like my, guilty pleasure is like a Diet Coke in the afternoon on a shoot. I love that.
At like 4 p.m., Mika needs a Diet Coke.
Yeah, it's so true.
Okay, your favorite film?
I'm going to sound like a total weirdo, but you know what film I just love is The Exorcist.
Oh my God. It's so funny you said that because my mom saw that as a kid and like couldn't sleep for years. It like freaked her out. And she told me the other day, because she's here, that she saw a commercial for the new one and I wasn't home. And she
even interested in seeing that. I'm like, I just like the original.
She was like walking around the house with a flashlight. She was so freaked out. That is so funny.
I know. I like to be titillated by the movies. I'm like not, you know, a deep thoughts movie person. I feel like there's so much depressing things happening in the world that, you know, I like to.
I agree. I can't watch sad stuff and scary stuff. I can't because I won't sleep. I am like purely a comedic relief moviegoer. Favorite city?
Oh my God. I really say that is impossible to answer.
I know. And you travel so much.
I mean, I love London, Paris, and Amsterdam.
I mean, that's so we have a trio.
And Rome. I like all the like big European city hubs. I just, yeah. Basically for all the museums and architecture and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, from a design perspective, those are the places to go. And I feel like the Scandinavian, like the Nordic countries too.
Right.
Bedding. People are so particular about their bedding.
Well, I mean, I love Porto and I love Matuk.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with either of them. And no duvets. Mika does not like duvets.
No. I mean, okay, well, I'll tell you a dirty little secret.
Don't tell me you have a duvet at home.
I do like sleeping under a duvet.
That's amazing. They don't photograph well.
You'll never find a duvet on one of my shoots. I mean, sometimes. Very, very rare. Very rarely.
Well, I feel like I've just learned the funniest thing in the world. That's amazing. Tea or coffee, and how do you take it?
Coffee with, I have like a Breville milk frother. Mm-hmm. Like life-changing. So it's like,
yeah, it's amazing.
Warm foamed milk for sure. And then tea every afternoon with a little bit of milk.
Playlist. And it could be for anything.
Oh my God, totally pass. But I do have to say, when I'm on a shoot, I love listening to Yacht Rock.
I know you do. I feel like that's like the only thing you put on.
I know.
Or like Lou Reed.
Right. That's a lot of photographers won't let me do it. So
you're banned from DJing. Your favorite weekend activity?
Oh, just being quiet.
Yeah.
I like being quiet on the weekends and seeing friends for dinner and being with my children and, you know, playing with my flowers.
I know. I feel the same way. I've been putting my phone on Do Not Disturb on the weekend and just being with the kids.
It's nice.
Okay, the last rapid fire. What is your favorite design book?
Interiors by Mitt Hogg.
Yeah, that's a solid suggestion.
As we discussed, that's definitely still my favorite.
If anybody takes anything away from this, I would say go buy that book.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, a final few words. What are you working on right now? Is there anything new that you can tell us about?
Well, I am working on a book right now.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's coming out next September with Vendome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's been really fun to work on. And yeah, and then it's going to have some old work, some new work. And so that's been a fun project.
That's amazing. I can't wait to see it. That's so exciting. The last question is, do you have any advice for someone looking to define their own interior style?
I think it is always a matter of listening to your instinct and not being talked into trends or styles of the moment.
I agree. Following the things that speak to you.
Exactly. Which there are so many.
There are so many. I was at Antique and Artisan the other day because we have a client who's hosting an 80th birthday party for their mother. And so they gave us like 10 days basically to get the whole house styled.
My God.
And we're like midway through the project. It's not done yet. So I was like running around like a lunatic at A&A all week last week. But I was saying to Lindsay on my team, like we were just like staring at these pieces and we're like, where did this live? Like, who owns this? Like, what? Like, they just have such a story behind them. And that's, I think, the coolest thing about it.
Agreed.
Well, thank you so so, so, so much for doing this. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And you're the best. And I love you. And thank you for doing this.
Anytime. Such a pleasure talking to you, as always.
That's a wrap for this week's episode of Talk Shop. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more thoughtful discussions and amazing guests. Make sure you follow on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify so you never miss an episode. And of course, follow me at Ariel Oaken. See you next week.